Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. God, I thank you so much this morning for this gorgeous Christmas morning. It's a cold morning, but we're so thankful you woke up each and every one of us. Christmas is all about Jesus. Jesus is Christmas. And from the time Jesus was born, he lived a perfect, sinless life for 33 years. He was hung on the cross. He sacrificed for our sins. Lord, we give Jesus all the thanks and all the glory. And we are just so thankful for what he does. And we're celebrating more than his birth today. We're celebrating him dying on the cross. We're celebrating him resurrection. That's the most important part, was a resurrection. That gives us hope and faith that one day we will join Jesus in heaven. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we have lost several members here this year, and I want to lift up those families. Just be with those families, Lord. I ask you to put your arm around them and comfort each and every one of them, Lord. And I'd like to lift up our military. Lord, we have several in the military here that we love so much. And Lord, I just like to lift up Alex Postel this morning. Alex is serving our country, and she is without her family today. And I just want to ask you, Lord, to put a hedge of protection around Alex and all of our military, Lord. We love them. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, I ask that when Brother Cal speaks this morning, you speak through Brother Cal, where he will speak through our hearts, our minds, and our souls this morning, dear Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless the word that Brother Cal will be bringing. It's in your mighty name I pray, dear Lord. Amen.
I don't know quite how to follow up that prayer with that suit that Greg has on, but you may notice several of you asked, you got a suit on today. Well, my mama was old school, and she went home to be with the Lord back in January, almost 2 years ago, but she was a member here, and when she would show up, she always wanted to see what I had on. And she would scold me from time to time for not being in a suit. She just felt like the preacher ought to be in a suit. So this morning, I got up early and just looked towards heaven. I said, okay, Mom, I'll put a suit on today. And it does not match what Greg has on, though. Anyways. I do want to say this. This has been, we're 4.5, well, in March, this church will be 5 years old. Can you believe that? But this has been the greatest year, Christmas, of ministry in our church's existence. I mean, it's been amazing. A couple of hundred boxes, Operation Christmas, the shoe boxes, you remember that? You guys fed 30-something pastors and their wives. Just wanted them to know how much you loved them. God's been good to help 1,080 children at Moore and School and Smith Schools with toys and clothes and all kinds of school supplies. This past Wednesday night we were out Christmas caroling, that's what's wrong with my voice. Wednesday, how many of you remember Pigpen on Charlie Brown? Well, Wednesday afternoon, I was mulching leaves in our backyard for about 2 hours, and I looked like Pigpen in this big cloud of smoke. And then Wednesday night, we went out in 40-degree weather and we were singing. And so Thursday and Friday, I didn't even have a voice. So thank God I've got a little voice this morning. I hadn't been sick, so you don't have to worry about that. But anyways, it's been a great, great Christmas of ministry. It really has. And today, you're going to get an opportunity to give to our international missionaries. Every dime you give today in the Lottie Moon Christmas Office is going to go to bless our missionaries to get the gospel out to folks. So it's been a great Christmas. And you know what? Pretty good crowd today. I had folks tell me, are y'all really having Christmas? Y'all really have church on Christmas? Yeah. Of course we are. And I know the weather's cold. It's been rough and stuff. But I mean, look around. Look around. Bless God. Praise the Lord. You know, Bruce called and he was wanting to come down and clear off the parking lot. And Greg and John and several others were already down here yesterday putting out salt and all kind of stuff. And so, anyways, I thank God for the people who have shown up this morning so that we might be able to have church. But the one guest we want to be sure that it's here is the Holy Spirit of God. And so thank you for coming today. And I just believe God's going to speak loudly to our hearts. And we appreciate Christmas is a different season maybe now than it was when we were growing up. But it's a little different from Thanksgiving. How many of you would say that? But everybody's filled with joy and laughter, and it's a tough time for some folks who are missing a loved one who's gone on. It's a season of giving and receiving of gifts. It's a time where families get together and bless God. We eat. It's a time of singing. It's a time of really like no other time during the year. And today, think about this. Believers all over the world will be celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we got in common. All over the world, people are celebrating the birth of Jesus. Now, we don't know the actual factual date of the Lord's birth. Some scholars think it may have been in September. Others, maybe late October, but you know, that's really not the bigger issue. The bigger issue is that he was born. And he did arrive just like God said he would. And so we're here today to celebrate his birth. And and I especially love it when Christmas falls on Sunday. I think Isaac, and he's pretty good on, you know, keeping up with stats and that kind. He says this happens about every 6 years. But I want you to think about this today as we celebrate his birth. I don't know how thankful you are that the Father sent us his Son on that first Christmas evening, morning, whenever it was. But I want to tell you, he is God's greatest gift to humanity. And I want to talk to you for just a little while about my favorite subject, the Lord Jesus. He is the greatest gift of all. Tell somebody he's the greatest gift. All right, we're in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. When you find Luke, we're just going to read one verse. When you find Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, would you stand as we honor God's word today? Luke chapter 2, verse 11. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Good. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, here it is, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Father, add your blessing to the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, authoritative word. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his precious and powerful name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want to give you three great truths about Jesus and when he was born. First of all, Dr. Luke tells us that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Did you catch that? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? Say it again. Savior. One more time. Savior. The name Jesus, Yeshua, is that New Testament name Jesus. And it, you know, how many of you remember Joshua in the Old Testament? Well, that's the same name over in the Old Testament. And the name Jesus literally means Jehovah, Yeshua, is salvation. Jesus is salvation. He is the Savior. And you may wonder this morning, or maybe you've never really thought about it, but can I tell you the Lord's reason for coming to this earth was to save us? That's what we needed more than anything else. He came here to save us. Matter of fact, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says that he came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus came looking for lost people, which I was one of those a few years ago. I'm so thankful that he came looking for lost folks. In 1 John, let me read this verse of scripture to you. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14 says this: and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Savior. Well, why did we need a Savior? I'm so glad you ask. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14 says that we were separated from God because of what? That's right. We've all got this sin issue. Right? I mean, we all knew that what we were about to do was wrong, and we did it anyways. Well, the Bible says that that's sin. And our sins, God's holy, God's righteous, he has to judge sin, and he can't be exposed to sin. And so the Ephesians 2:14 says that there was this wall of hostility that was between us and God. We were separated from God. And as a matter of fact, Ephesians 2 and verse 1 goes a little bit farther on to say, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Dead in trespasses. Have you ever thought about that? When we were lost, we were nothing more than dead people walking around. Dead in our sins. Trespasses and sins. And so that's why the Savior came, is because we were separated from God. And we were dead in our sin. And by the way, if Jesus hadn't come, I'd still have to pay for my sin. And so would you. And so look at your neighbor and say, thank God for Jesus. Now, I forget the name of this song. Oh, What a Savior. Old song. And in that song, it says that God looked through heaven and found a Savior in the person of his Son. And you know, the thoughts occurred to me, and I believe I've said this before. If our greatest need had been physical healing, God would have sent us a doctor. If our greatest need had been education, God would have sent us a professor. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist or an engineer. If our greatest need had been this right here, y'all know what this is, right? Money. God would have sent us a banker or an economist. But bless God, our greatest need was for a Savior, and so God sent us Jesus. Let's give him praise today in the house. The greatest, greatest gift in this world is abundant, eternal life, which is found only in Jesus. What if I went around the room right now and just said, what does it mean that Jesus is your Savior? What does it mean to you personally? What if we went around the room? You know what? If we did do that, we should be here till next month. Hallelujah. I'm so glad Jesus left heaven and came to earth, as the choir was singing about this morning, and paid the price for all my sin. And bless God, I've been set free from my sin. He is never going to haul me back into his courtroom and pronounce me guilty, because I've been set free. I've been pardoned from sin. Thank God for our Savior. Thank you for Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. Some of you are like me. You hadn't gotten over that just yet. That's okay. Here's the second thing Dr. Luke's telling us about the greatest gift of all. He is not only Savior, he is the Christ. Did you catch that? Look at verse 11 again. This is powerful stuff, y'all. Do not be afraid, for behold, I'll bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ. Now, the name Christ literally means the anointed one. I think Billy spoke about this last week. He is the anointed one. And the title or the name of Christ appears 529 times in your New Testament. Now, do you think there's a message that the biblical writers are trying to get through to us there? Oh, yeah. He is the anointed one. He's the long-awaited Jewish Messiah and Gentile Savior. Listen to this. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus at his baptism. Why? Because he's the anointed one. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, listen to this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind." Aren't you thankful that Jesus came to set at liberty those who are oppressed? He was anointed to preach the gospel and to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up our wounds, to help. And when I start thinking about all that Jesus means and how he has anointed, how many of you have ever said, "Well, you know what? You spotted somebody and they, you know, he's just anointed of the Lord." You ever heard anybody say that? Or she's just anointed when she sits down to play. Well, that's scriptural. Jesus was anointed for everything that he ever did. Acts 10:38 says that God's anointing was on Jesus all throughout his ministry. When people were in his presence, they knew they were in the presence of God. And I want to tell you, there is an anointing here that people don't quite understand. Have you ever been in a church house like this and all of a sudden the manifest presence falls fresh on the people of God? And most of the time when that happens, people aren't jumping up and screaming and shouting and hopping around. No, it's quiet as a mouse, because the Spirit of the Lord sets down and his anointing is still with us today. The title Christ has its roots in those Old Testament predictions of a Jewish Messiah, prophecies concerning his lineage, his life, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his reign, all that Greg Lee was talking about earlier. Jesus Christ fulfilled every Old Testament scripture. All of it's fulfilled in him. Are you thankful for that today? Listen to this. Jesus is the Almighty. He's El Shaddai. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end, and he's all that's in between. Amen. He is how do I say that? The chief cornerstone. I think that's the one we looked at last week, wasn't it, brother? He's the open door. He's the firstborn of the dead, the Holy One. He's Emmanuel. He is the great I Am. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the light of the world. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Lord of glory. He's the life. He's the Master, the Mediator, the Prince of Peace. He's our Passover. He's the resurrection and the life. He is God. He's the truth. He's the true vine, the word and the way. He's the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He is the Christ, the anointed one. And the anointed one likes to anoint his people. I ran across this morning. Let me give this one to you. Somebody's going to like this. But you, this is 1 John 2 and verse 20. But you, look at the one you're sitting beside and tell him. He's talking about you. But you, listen to this, have an anointing from the Holy One. Woo! You have an anointing on you. My goodness, that's good. I don't know if I ought to read the rest of this verse. It says, and you know all things. Some of you spouses are going to get that here in just a minute. We have an anointing, and that anointing that we have is the Holy Spirit. The same anointing that came on Jesus at his baptism in the presence of that dove, we've been given that anointing. We've been given his Spirit. It is the seal. It's the guarantee of our ultimate redemption. Hallelujah. And so what is it that he is anointing you for, sir? What is it that he's anointing you for, ma'am? What are you anointed to do to bring glory to God? And I tell you what, this room is filled with talent and skill and spiritual gifts. This room is filled with, bless God, old folks, young folks, folks in between. I mean, you have an anointing. God has you here for a reason. He wants you to serve him. He wants to fulfill his plan and his purpose in your life. Isaac, do we not talk about that all the time? I'm like a broken record, aren't I, son? I mean, we talk about God has a plan and a purpose for you. And when you get that anointing on you, you get to find out what that plan and purpose is. Glory to God. All right, isn't Jesus special? He's the Savior. He's the Christ, but he's also the Lord. Let me go back to Luke and finish that verse up. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Say that with me. The Lord. He's Lord. Now, we don't use that word a lot. I've had several folks ask me, younger people, ask me, what does that mean? Well, it's the title that was used of someone that had great power and authority, normally like that of an emperor or a king. But the disciples in the New Testament, just in the four Gospels, do you know what they called Jesus 747 times? Lord. He is Lord. Someone who has, the word's also used for that of a master or an owner or a manager or someone who was due great respect. After the resurrection of our Lord, the title of Lord was used as a confession of his deity and his authority. Romans 14:9 states that Jesus, listen to this, Jesus died and rose and lived again so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. He's Lord. Acts 10:36 reveals that he is Lord of all. In Philippians 2, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, 2:11 says that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Revelation 19:16 shouts, he is Lord of Lord's. Now, Billy and I have talked about this. He's talked about it in the adult Bible study. But I'm here today to tell you, Jesus is not like some cafeteria line. Oh, I'll take a little saviorhood, but I don't want any lordship. My Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, friend, here's what I want to say to us this morning. This cultural Christianity garbage, that's what it is. It's garbage. If he isn't Lord of all, he may not be Lord at all. He wants to be Lord of your life. He is Lord. And one of these days, every knee's going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess, yes, Lord, you're right, you are Lord. Why didn't I submit to your lordship? That's a great question. Is he your Lord today? Is he? I mean, is he on your mind? Who's the first one you think of when you wake up? Who's the last one you talk to before you go to bed? Who's the one you think about all day long? Who's the one you're passionate about? Well, whoever or whatever that is, that's who your Lord is. But Jesus is Lord. And so he's Savior. He's Christ. He's the anointed one. And he's Lord of all. And he's the greatest gift humanity has ever been given or will be given. And I've said all of that to say this morning. Do you know the one I'm talking about as your Savior, as your Lord, as the anointed? Do you know him in that way? I heard a sermon at our Tennessee Baptist Convention, and y'all, it just gripped my heart. Our Tennessee Baptist Convention president preached a sermon, and the title was this: the greatest mission field is right there in your church. You hear what I said? He said the greatest mission field is right there in your sanctuary each and every Sunday and Wednesday. I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but I think everybody right here, here's what I think. I think he's speaking to hearts all across the building right now. You can tell when things get quiet like this and you see people's countenance and their faces. I believe God's speaking to folks all across the room. Some about salvation and some about lordship. Is he the Lord of your life? Is he? Oh, I can't think of a better gift to give God today. He gave his greatest gift to us. Why don't we give him the best we've got? That's us. By the way, he deserves for us to give him our best. In just a moment, we're going to open up this altar here. And we call this an invitation here at Second Mile Church, a time of response. And it's just a time for people to get right with the Lord. And I don't know where you are in your walk with God today, but I want to tell you who knows. You know it, and he knows it. And if your heart's beating just a little bit faster right now, or you're a little bit anxious, or you're a little bit nervous, that's the Spirit of God talking to you. And he wants you to respond in obedience. Would you just bow your head? And Brenda, tap those lights behind you, would you? Just everybody bow your head. Father, I know in my heart of hearts what I'm talking about. Because as a 25-year-old man, I had to surrender to you as Lord of my life. You weren't Lord of my financial life. You weren't Lord of my home life. You weren't Lord of my social life. You weren't Lord of my job life. And I remember surrendering to you that night over there at that football stadium. And I believe there's folks that are right here today that need to do the same thing. And I believe there's folks here that truly need to be born again. They've never experienced the life-changing power that Jesus Christ gives to his children. And I pray that today, that folks all over this room would get right with Jesus. I'm not talking about bad folks. I'm talking about dead folks. People who are dead in trespasses and sin. And Jesus didn't come to make us good. He came to make us like him. Oh God, help us right now. If you're here and you've never been truly born again and saved, here's how you do that. If God's tugging on your heartstrings, if you just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You know it. I know it. And my sins are ever before me. They're before you. But I believe, Father, that you sent your Son to forgive me of all my sin. And right now, I want to receive that gift just by faith. I want to reach out and take Jesus as my Lord. Come in and take control of my life. I surrender all. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that prayer for the first and really only time that you really meant business with God, you've just begun a brand new life. But you need to come forward and confess him. You won't have to say anything. We've got some folks here that will pray for you and get some stuff in your hands that will help you get started in your new life with Christ. And then there's folks all over the building. You know he's not the Lord of your life. And you want his lordship. You want his best. And you're willing to give him whatever best you've got left. And this altar is open for that. Whatever God wants to do. Maybe it's your family you're burdened about. Maybe it's something else. You just need to come for prayer. What is it God's saying to you today? You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Let's just stand quietly in an attitude of reverence and worship. Andrew, why don't you lead us in something, and then y'all just come. Altar's open. You come. Father, bless this time. In Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.